Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life. Blocks sold separately. Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. All right, guys, we're back
from outer space.
Yeah.
A couple changes have happened between last session and this session. And it's good that we didn't get to use our new steps, because we changed Command and Scoundrel, the two step ones that Kelton was concerned with.
Yes.
So, Max, tell us what Kelton has now instead of what he had last week.
Last week, I was thinking of going in a Scoundrel, but with the changes to Scoundrel, I feel like Kelton is too stupid. So I went with another step into Command. I really like Take the Shot, and that has been moved to step one Command, and I wanted that back. Practice targeting. The allies gain plus one to hit through attacks that I grant. Scene ability is now all according to plan, which is an immediate action.
That's not what that says.
Yeah, it's not what it says at all.
Oh, mine says plan. Weird.
It just says it in Japanese.
Yeah. Oh, is that Japanese? Hmm. Which is the enemy falls for the bait, allowing you and an ally to attack at the same time, which could be fun. That's when an enemy hits me with a melee attack.
It's an immediate action?
Immediate action.
Okay. You could also call that Devil's Three-Way.
Ooh.
I thought that was a Devil's Triangle, Bermuda Triangle, Devil's Threesome.
It's a drinking game.
Damn it! Katie plus one momentum.
Yes! And I'm taking it.
And to be fair to Kavanaugh, I was sitting down with Katie at dinner, and I went, yeah, like, you know, like three man. And she's like, what? And I was like, it's a drinking game. She's like, I've never heard of it. I'm like, well, that's a point in his favor.
Yeah, true.
Because if three man was written on that fucking deposition instead of Devil's Triangle, they'd have been like, oh, yeah, sure it is, pal. Yeah. We Googled it.
I played a couple of games of three man in my day.
Oh, yeah. You were there with me when I got the drunkest I've ever been, which was playing a game of three man. I didn't black out, though.
Was Corbin also there?
He was there. That was that night. Yeah.
He's at every time I've ever played three man, Corbin has been there.
I don't know what that is.
How do you play it?
It's when two men and a woman love each other very much.
Okay.
Oh. They get
two daddies and a mommy.
They get a dice. They get a die.
So, I didn't hand out momentum last session, and I should have. I've should have been handing it out in the moment every time, and it's something that I need to get better at. So I'm sorry, everybody.
Don't be so hard.
Need to
yourself.
Get better. I'm sorry.
Don't
sorry.
Do this.
You can hit me if you want to.
It's okay. It's not your
You're
fault.
You're a My fucking goodness. Garbage GM.
So everybody gets four momentum flat.
Yay!
In addition to the changes to Command and Scoundrel, we are baiting a new idea in this game, which is Chaos Points, which is a way to incentivize GMs to be good.
Less garbage, like you.
Yeah, exactly. If you could find a way to help me be less of a controlling, power-mongering GM, to where I'm just imposing my will on you and you guys are playing through my story and any deviation means that I kill your character, that's what this is supposed to represent. So the idea is that when everybody at the table agrees that whatever happened was like really big and awesome and like, or like a good solution to a problem, they can give the GM a chaos point. And what a chaos point does, when something isn't going the way a GM wants to or is at a loss, they can spend a chaos point and roll a d6. And whatever it lands on determines the nature of the thing that happens immediately. On a roll of a 1, a large monster awakens. 2 is a natural disaster. 3, a mysterious benefactor. 4 is an omen. 5 is a magical item. And 6 is outbreak. which is probably bad for somebody.
Yeah.
Outbreaks seem, I don't know, when we were talking about it, seemed extreme.
Good. More than natural disaster?
More than gigantic monster?
Because, like...
is three, like, the mysterious stranger that will come in and help us?
No, but just, like, the way...
It's a mysterious benefactor, but that may not be a good thing if
just
somebody...
the way you guys were discussing it, it just seemed a bit extreme. And...
Sure.
I don't know. Like, I could like
that's
it.
That's why we put it at six.
That's why we're killing your character this episode, Katie.
Okay.
So...
Spoiler alert.
So the idea of chaos dice, I don't know what situations will warrant it, but I think that's up to you guys. I'm just going to throw that back at you, okay?
All right.
And knowing the results of what will happen, of giving a GM a chaos point, I think will temper how often you guys want to give them out.
Like a lot. Like, I want to do it all the time. Like, I want there to be several omens.
There'd be a bunch of natural disasters all happening at once. Yeah. So, where we last left you guys, Forsha had just left with two of the shovels and the three members of the Way Forward.
You can't call them shovels.
I was about to say, I think it's really funny that, like, my derogatory term for the employees on the dig site has just become the universal descriptor.
I like it.
Oh, good. Okay, so then they left, and Aster came to you and said he's willing to help you find the children who have gone missing, who you now have a slight lead on, in that there are two Kreks out there that have been located 2 miles east of the Way Forward's camp to the south.
One is a goose and one is a duck, correct?
Correct.
Both named Howard.
That's right.
Aster, track them. Go. Aster, I choose you. Ability tracking.
All right. He says, oh, well, you're ready to go now?
What the hell time is it? Are we still partying?
Now, this is, you guys,
we went to bed.
The following day, this is the morning.
You boned down, dude.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
We had that one guy come in to investigate the camp and everything.
Oh, Columbo?
You mean Bolivo? Copyright, man.
I tried to implicate the ladybug that I don't like very much into, like, our problems. I was like, oh, you should take a look at that. And he went and talked to some shovels. I don't know.
For no reason other than helping.
Yep. Yeah. So right. She was just very useful, so Vaughn hates her.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
He's ready to go.
All right,
he can move.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Tideway already knows his plans.
Let's get this shit over with.
Let's hoof Autobots, let's roll out.
Okay.
I got some guff clothes. I'm just changing.
Dirty pig clothes, I think you call them.
Now, here's a question. So let's say you change out of your costume. I want to know, what does Vaughn feel about his costume? Like, is he just going to, like, throw it away, or does it mean anything?
No, like, I imagine I have, like, a rucksack of some sort. I don't know if I do or not, but I feel like...
Okay.
I pack it up. Like, it's part of me.
Put it in your slot.
Yeah.
It is 10 miles to the south, 2 miles to the east.
All right.
Or at least the last time that they were spotted, which was a week ago. If you start heading out...
Yeah, is there, like, a... road that goes directly to their compound, or are we just taking an angle and just hoping it?
There is not a road in any... There's not even a path.
Keith, where we're going, we don't need roads.
We don't need eyes to see.
Not the reference I was making, but all right.
Back to the Future meets Event Horizon.
I would watch that.
There's no roads. This is just forest. Your dig site is not like... Until you guys showed up, it was not a hub of anything. So you got thick forest... Aster's a ranger. He's going to try to lead you guys through it. He turns to you and he says, I think there's an area. If it's what I'm thinking of, it's near where they last saw them. I think they're probably camped out in this clearing that's roughly in that area, but it's hard trekking until we get there.
All right, well, fucking range me.
So he brings out his his ranging shit. And so he's like, oh, there's no trail yet. The first couple miles, so let's just head in the general direction.
General direction?
And he's a better ranger than me.
Much.
Like, he's a ranger at all.
You have no idea if I'm a ranger or not. Actually, I don't know if you guys know. I don't know if I said I was an actor.
We were introduced to you as the actor.
Yeah.
They know you're definitely not an archaeologist. You start making your way through the woods. Not really traveling quietly. It's just a group of you, right? Did you want to bring anybody else before we left camp?
No.
We're good.
It is dense. Dense forest. You're walking for, let's say, hour and a half, and all of a sudden Aster holds up a hand and he's like, hang on. And you traveled about 5 miles, but hard walking. It was tough. He points to the ground, and you can see where he's pointing. There are scuffs in the ground, like tracks, that kind of thing. He says, somebody came through here. Something's going on. And he starts moving to the east for a while, about 300 yards, and then he stops. A fight happened here. it looks like, and he looks down and he says, there were two people who came through here. It looks like a Tolden, and if I'm to guess correctly, an Eshwin were walking through this area before they were attacked, but I don't see where the attackers came from. I see their footprints and then a bunch of other marks on the ground I don't recognize. He's moving around the site, and he goes, yeah, they were dragged away to the east for about 3 yards, and then there's nothing.
Question. Can birds fly? You know what I mean?
No.
Okay, you know what I mean. Cracks jackasses.
Cannot fly. No, cracks cannot fly.
Cracks can't fly.
Fuck you guys. Okay, you know what? We can all just take this memory of me when I leave. And
take these broken wings.
Learn to fly again.
Oh, my fucking chest hurts.
Okay, so yes, birds can fly.
Shut up. I don't want to talk about it.
Crex cannot fly. So, back in the moment, he says this to you. You see what he sees when he points it out to you.
These aren't the people we're looking for, though, right?
He says, well, I don't know.
Do you see, like, any children's footprints?
Not that I can tell. I mean, but definitely somebody was abducted, and I know we're looking for abductors.
Oh, yeah. I see what he's saying.
Keen observation, Dr. Professor Doctor.
Yeah.
Asta, unless you got any indication of which direction these fuckers went, I guess we continue on.
He says, well, I would assume that they continued in the direction they were dragged.
East.
The tracks came from the north of the two people that were walking, and then the scuffle happened here, and then they were dragged to the east. The evidence vanishes after about 3 yards.
Are there any, like, bunched up leaves or piles of leaves or anything?
You want to jump in them?
No, just like that would hide like a body.
Oh,
or like gull feathers.
Give me a intelligence check, so like survival intelligence.
8.
Not that you can see.
Okay.
I think it's probably a good bet that if people are abducting people and not leaving a trace, it may explain why we haven't found these kids yet and why we found no tracks.
Thanks, Captain.
And he starts doing his ranging thing. He feels pretty confident that there at least seems to be a lane of trees that somebody could feasibly move through. So he starts making his way that way east. And after about 2 miles, you come upon some stones in the ground, like cobblestones, but are overgrown with grass and vines. And then you see that a couple things that look like tree trunks are actually stones as well, overgrown with vines and algae and moss and that kind of thing. And as you go further in, there seems to be, let me draw this out, where it radiates from a center point, there is a rough circle of these cobblestones that is roughly 60 feet in diameter. And around its edge are several taller stones that are overgrown with moss and algae. So, and you're entering from the west.
Wheelhenge.
Yeah.
Nothing bad has ever happened in one of those.
You approach this circle of stones and cobbles, which looks like it may have been an intersection of like an ancient roadway, with Kelton in the front, followed by Esmond and Nesbitt shoulder to shoulder, and in the rear is Von Van de Vint. As Kelton crosses the threshold, you all hear a sound. In the distance, trees are rustling, and the rustling is getting closer, followed by like a thwapping sound, very, very faint, like that.
Like a baseball card and a bicycle spoke?
Kind of like that, but imagine softer, like it's not that sharp of a sound, and it's like, but you hear this multiple times over, moving through the trees. Then you see the trees in front of you sway, and there are figures cartwheeling among the branches. Like, imagine swinging like Tarzan from branch to branch. They fly out of the trees. It's hard to see what they are. And they land in front of you. And their form changes from being like an amorphous shape into humanoid, brightly colored characters. There's one that is a guff warthog wearing full plate armor. He's huge, big and imposing, and he has a shield and an axe. In the rear is a gelt that looks like a honey badger who has a great axe and is wearing loose hide armor. Behind him is a tan-colored gelt wearing a grass skirt, a lei of blue flowers, and a red flower in his hair. And he's carrying a staff. north of them by about one space, there is a Krex that looks like a hornbill, and he's blue with a white chest and a bright orange beak, wearing studded leather armor and using a long pike with a flag with archaic marks hanging from it.
Hello!
This is you. Yeah. I'll respond to it. Okay.
Why don't we try with hello for once?
Yeah. So, they don't respond, and they just kind of start moving towards you.
Yeah,
weapons drawn.
You're going to stop right there. I'm going to light you on fire.
And they all just kind of keep moving forward. Very creepy.
Sounds like they want to get lit on fucking fire.
Roll battle order. They go first.
Okay.
Rolled a natty 19 plus 12. So
yeah.
I don't think you can beat that.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Can I roll awareness to see if they actually heard Esmond? They chose not to... You know what I mean? Like, it looked like they understood what he was saying, but they chose to keep going for it, as opposed to, like, being in a trance or something?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to roll awareness. 18.
You know that it would have been really hard not to hear him.
Okay, so they chose.
You don't,
okay.
You don't get the sense
like
that
they're just, like, zombified or anything.
Right. They just don't seem to have reacted in any way to his challenge.
I would love to see Vaughn intimidate, though.
Vaughn, this array of figures gives you... There's like a niggling in the back of your mind that there's something too specific about these characters.
Like the Lion King.
Why don't you give me an...
Because that's what I thought.
Give me an acting role.
Okay. An acting role. Okay. All right, it's plus 5, right?
Yes.
Okay. 12.
You think that these are almost cartoonish representations of a play that you've read back in the day called The Ion King.
If you had a chaos point, I'd take it from you right now.
This would be a very strange coincidence, but it's also very strange regardless. So they go first. The Warthog charges at Kelton and takes a swing. 19 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Gonna be one of those fights.
Does 8 damage.
Can I roll to strategize to see if I notice anything that might help us?
Sure.
Okay.
So let's say 5, I'll give you information about the group composition. 10 or higher, I will tell you more specific things to watch out for. And 15 or higher, I'll give you, like, a tip.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
10.
10 total?
Yeah. I don't have anything in intelligence.
The group composition, you definitely get that the honey badger likes to get up in the shit and might be the powerhouse of the group, while the Tangelt is there for support, and you don't really have a sense of what the Hornbill's doing.
I'm going to do... Warning strike on the Warthog. So 19
total. Hits.
Excellent. 6 damage.
6 damage, and he can't disengage or attack anybody else without invoking.
Yes.
Okay. The tan-colored Gelt also moves forward behind the Warthog, about 2 spaces away. He raises his staff and points it at him, and a little heel goes boop.
It's gonna be one.
And it heals him for 1.
Yay!
Fucking healers.
Hey, guys, did you hit that guy?
Yeah, I'm going to move shoulder to shoulder with Kelton. Phalanx, plunging strike. 7.
Miss. Yeah. The Hornbill moves next to the tan-colored Gelt, makes a signal with his wing. The Warthog attacks Kelton again. It hits. 8 more damage.
Esmond takes a look at the tan-colored Gelt, and he reaches deep inside of himself. Mm-hmm. And he calls forth a rogue star.
There you go.
And I'm going to spend 3 momentum.
Whoa. Give me the description of what you're attempting.
All right. This is the first time I've done this. And I'm digging deep inside myself, finding, because this is an intimidating group. These guys seem really weird. Esmond's freaked out and gathering all of the ambient heat. And he's just building it up above him. And he's going to slam it into this Gelt.
Like a spirit
bomb? It's a spirit bomb of fire.
All right. Do it.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
So you rolled a natty 2 on the d20.
So 12 plus...
12 plus 15.
15 total?
Yeah.
Hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was...
Glad you didn't use 2 momentum. Especially since the 5 was the loner die.
Yeah, I know.
You would have just...
17.
17 damage.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the Hornbill takes 2d6. 7.
That hurt. The honey badger sees that, and his eyes go red.
Dope.
Can't make it to Esmond, makes it to Kelton, and swings his great axe.
Oh, shit.
And that is, yeah, 17.
I'm going to do not so fast.
Okay.
I'm going to spend a momentum just to make sure. Oof. 15.
15 hits.
Yes.
All right, so the his attack is canceled.
11 damage.
Damn.
So I stop his great axe in the air with my shield, and instead I hit him with my axe.
All right, so it worked. Yeah.
Thus stunning him till the end of my next turn.
I will challenge the warthog.
Okay.
And I say, get out of here, you cheap tramps.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I say that, and I challenge.
Salacious.
I challenge the warthog.
Okay.
Vaughn's still a gentleman, all right? Like, he's a dandy.
Very gentle.
And then I use Burning Gray.
So you use Burning Gray and the warthog. It's going to go through it's going to go through Kelton. Oh.
Yeah,
the warthog,
but it's going to heal Kelton.
And the hornbill.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Nice positioning.
Nat 20.
So tell me the damage, which is the same as the healing.
6 plus my composure, which is 9.
9. Okay.
Nice.
What, homies? So there you go.
Appreciate it.
Dope.
It's the warthog's turn. He can't move without invoking an attack of opportunity. Right, so he can't do much other than attack Kelton without invoking. So he's going to do that. 17. Rolling rocks tonight.
Yeah. Damn, that warthog is beefy.
6 damage. And you notice while you're fighting these guys, their movements are unnatural. Like, they're still coming off, but it feels as though things just aren't adding up the way they're moving.
Do they look like they're almost like stop motion? Like they're a knockoff?
More like where the center of their body weight should be, it isn't. Mm. And they're compensating for it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So with the honey badger immobilized, can he block anything I hit him with?
I mean, he can block things. Yeah, I mean, he still has a dodge rating. He just can't move from his spot.
Yeah, okay. Can't disengage.
I thought immobilized. I'm just going to swing at that honey badger.
All right.
He's getting on my nerves. I'm going to do warning strike on the honey badger. So 7.
Nope.
All right.
The Tangelt holds out his staff, casts a heal on himself, and gets 6 hit points. Ooh. Back.
Plunging strike, stab that fucking warthog again.
Oh, okay. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Do it.
Something that I had been ignoring this entire time. I don't know if I've had opportunity previously, but Gelt feature, process of elimination. Since I missed on my last attempt, I have a +1 on this attempt.
That's right.
So, 19.
Hits.
All right. That counts as sneak attack damage. 11.
Oh, shit. So, as you do that, he shudders in such a way, and then all of the coloration that you would associate with his armor and his fur smooths out to become a gray color. You see that what's standing before you is not a warthog covered in armor. It is a forest living octopus that has been holding itself in the shape of a guff warthog in armor, a character from a play, and now the facade is gone.
These guys are fucking gross. Let's,
It looks very surprised. Its eyes are real wide right now. Like, it's like, oh, shit.
Need I remind you, you attacked us. We said hello.
The hornbill's turn. It moves behind the warthog with its pike and attacks Nesbitt in an effort to, I guess, save its buddy.
Hey, guys, what do you think the rest of them may be octopuses as well?
Octopi?
Is that correct?
I don't know. Is it?
It's Greek, so it's pod.
Yeah. I think it is octopuses now, officially in English.
Octopuses?
Yeah. It sounds dirty.
It does.
I like it. Attacks Nesbitt. 15 against your dodge.
Hits.
All right. Does 5 damage.
I'm going to step forward northeasternly into the fray, and I'm going to use Fire Blast.
Oh, shit. And they're all going to eat it.
My new feature, Pyroclasm. I did damage to multiple targets last turn.
Yes.
I get to add a die 6 damage if I hit.
Okay. Whoa. All right. To one target, right?
Yes.
Okay. So pick your target ahead of time.
No, to enemies.
Oh, it should have been to one.
All right. Let's do one then.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to use another momentum.
Okay. We're really spending momentum.
20.
Hits everybody.
6 damage to everybody. Except for to the tan one, it does 11.
The honey badger just gets blasted with heat. You see this look of frustration come over his face. Brings his great axe high and brings it down on Esmond. And rolls a natty 1, so he misses. And it's Vaughn's turn.
Burning Ray, Kelton, the Warthog, and the Hornbill. And I'm going to add 2 momentum. Who's the king now? 31.
The Warthog, you get the sense, freed of its disguise, is actually a little more nimble.
Wow. Cool.
Oh,
but no, that still hits.
9 damage to each, and okay. Then 9 healing to Kelton.
I just realized that Aster should have been with you guys this whole time.
I was thinking that like a turn.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was just like, huh, it's just weird they bailed. I don't know.
Aster, little help over here.
Hey, what, are you too busy fucking ranging over there? Come over here and fucking fight a guy.
He's, like, he's looking at leaves.
He's throwing things up in the air, watching how the wind blows them. Alright, so the warthog, well, not the octopus that used to be a warthog, dies.
Yeah.
Burned up with the burning ray. Aster is kind of overwhelmed by this whole thing, has been stunned, decides he's going to run in finally and help you guys. Let's put him right after Vaughn.
Hey, Vaughn, you're pretty good at burning things. Glad to have you around.
grumble.
He's been hiding behind one of the rocks looking for a good opportunity to kind of get flanking on one of the other ones. Comes around, peeks out, and pulls up his addle-addle and chucks it at the hornbill as hard as he can.
Can he please be holding like a branch in front of his face?
We are a tree. Please move along. Yeah. So this is +3. He hits. Does 3 damage.
Warning strike on the honey badger. Natural 20.
Holy shit.
Ooh.
12 damage.
Shit.
And then he cannot attack anyone but myself.
All right. The Tan Gelt's turn. Circles around, seeing this new player in the battle, runs in and attacks him with his staff. Rolls a natty 2.
You know, I came out here to get some fucking Dairon. Here I am every goddamn day getting stabbed by people. I'm tired of this bullshit. I'm the fucking stabbing guy. Tan guy, give me your fucking blood. 2 momentum and lifesteal.
Okay, you're going to invoke an attack of opportunity from the hornbill. Because he's using a pike.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll do that one first. Hits.
Ooh.
It's a natty 19. 5 damage. Lifesteal on the Tan Gelt.
18.
Hit.
All right. The damage I do with that comes back as healing.
Mm-hmm.
2d10 plus composure.
Holy shit.
Yeah. 12.
+1 momentum. After he takes his opportunity attack and you still land a lifesteal against the Tan Gelt like fucking Kane from Blood Omen, the hornbill drops the facade completely and becomes an octopus. Limbs roll over each other to book it towards the Tan Gelt and around towards Aster and do a grab on Aster.
Okay.
Natty 20.
Boom.
Grabs Aster with, let's say, 4 limbs and does a electricity attack.
Whoa.
14 damage, and
yo.
Aster is stunned.
How are the enemies looking?
The honey badger's the worst off.
Uh-huh.
But also has completely dropped the facade.
The honey badger?
Yeah, the honey badger's
completely. But not the Tan Gelt?
All 3 of them now dropped it.
Okay.
Let's say. So all 3 of them are now gross-looking gray octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Octopodes. Octopuses. Octopussies. And they are now seem like they're scrambling and frantic. Obviously none of this went how they would hope.
Hey, Gelt, I didn't know we were fighting your mother.
My mom's not a fucking octopus.
Yeah, but I'm implying that is your mother. That's the funny part.
Fortune favors a bold. I'm going to wheel around the enemy in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Getting the upper hand. You're flanking him.
Flaming pillar on the formerly Tan Gelt.
Okay. Yeah. The grass skirt is no longer there to be burned up in the...
I know. I mean, the rogue star should have gotten it.
Yeah. But strangely, it didn't, right? Because it wasn't really made of grass.
Yeah. 17.
Hits.
2d8 plus composure. And a d6 because I hit multiple targets last time.
Ooh.
17 damage.
Dies.
Nice.
Does the former hornbill take anything?
2 damage and composure damage.
Okay. Now it's the honey badger's turn. Feels like it's pretty much fucked. Surrounded on all sides almost. And then decides to use a slam attack with his gross, fleshy body against Kelton. And misses.
So I'm going to move to the left of Kelton to be in front of the honey badger. I'm going to use my rapier to stab him. I'll challenge him as well. And I'm going to use another momentum.
Okay, spending him.
Oh, 14.
17.
And then plus...
What? 3, no. 17.
That's a hit.
2. No.
All right, 2 damage. Honey badger still alive.
Ugh. I should have used the thing that has been working for me here.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Burning Ray is kind of a fucker.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's Aster's turn. Aster is immobilized. The hornbill kind of panics, and you see one of the tentacles of the hornbill grab a tree limb and lift him, and they start swinging away.
No!
What? Yep. And they're swinging away off into the distance.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why couldn't it have been Vaughn?
Wow.
Damn.
All right. Cold. Like, rude.
I'm just going to swing at the honey badger.
Okay.
Just regular old weapon damage. Spending a momentum.
Okay. People are spending them.
16.
Hits.
Excellent.
It is possible for him to not kill this guy. Boy, he should roll precisely a 1 to not kill the honey badger.
1.
He rolled 1. Precisely a 1.
It is still alive.
3. It's still alive at 3? Damn.
Dope. Yes.
All right.
I'm going to circle around to the back so that I'm flanking with Vaughn. I'm going to double strike this guy.
Okay. This guy with exactly 1 hit point.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Let's
one
see
of
it.
Them might.
It's true. It's true. I do want to know the damage if you do.
All right, you sick squishy fuck. I'm done with having you around here. 19 and 15.
Both hit.
One of them gets sneak attack. 14.
Yeah, I'd say that is more than 1 that damage. So he dies.
Can I see the other octopus?
You see that it headed northeast.
But I have eyes on it.
In 2 more seconds, it will be completely gone.
Kelton would like to put his hand on Nesbitt's shoulder and say, "My condolences for the death of your mother."
It's not my fucking... It's a goddamn octopus.
Because, like, that's your mother.
This fucking guy.
Everybody gets flat 3 momentum. So now, Aster is gone. The octopus has kidnapped him and started moving northeast super fast among the trees. What do you guys do?
Take off after him right now.
Vaughn, you're our ranger?
I was going to say.
Yep, I sure am.
Vaughn, how confident are you in ranging us on down to where we were going?
Very confident.
Good. All right, so let's do the opposite of that.
I was going to say, Edmund screams as soon as he's brought up.
Wait, did they... Oh, you know I'm an actor. Yes. All right.
This is the second time today we've had that conversation.
I know. I keep forgetting we brought this up. All right.
We're going after Aster.
Yeah, all right. Let's fucking move, gents.
So you just start tearing off through the forest.
Just going.
Moving. You tear off for a while, and you can hear this creature is able to move faster than you. And as you're moving as fast as you can through the forest, you can still hear him ahead of you. It is pulling away from you. Until eventually you can't hear it. But it feels like the direction it's going is constant. And after a while, you're going to slow down because...
Get tired.
You just can't.
Yeah.
You can't keep sprinting forever.
Kelton's going to keep going.
Okay. Kelton, Kelton falls down.
Well, Kelton has a 3 in hits endurance in March.
Hits his face on
so
a
why
root.
Can't Kelton keep going faster?
He can. He can go a little bit further than everybody else.
Okay.
After a while, you hear a commotion up ahead in the distance.
A hullabaloo?
Yeah, kind of like some cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, some cheering.
Like, does everybody know my name?
And somebody yelling, trying to address multiple people at the same time, but it's hard to make out what they're saying.
All right, let's go in that direction then.
Okay, so you just walk up?
No, we are going to be sneaky.
I don't know.
I'm going to roll sneak.
Why? I can sneak.
We're all sneaking. Because every time you go off on your own,
things
happen.
That's not true. The second time I came back and reported, so we all knew what we were getting into.
Okay,
so
all right.
Go find yourself. All right. Only the first time that I chose to dance, because I have a song in my heart, and I have to dance to it.
Vaughn, can you pretend to be an octopus with acting?
Yes, I can. Let's see how that goes.
All right.
You know, it's about the same movement, probably, in the same, like, just kind of like...
And to the listeners, you obviously cannot see what Katie is doing. It's very octopodal.
It's very erotic, honestly, I find.
My goodness. You know, that could be a thing, you know, like, like...
It is definitely a thing.
So, wow. Yeah, I sneak.
DC 15.
It's my talent. So I rolled a
you
7
rolled
before,
worst.
And I rolled did worse. I rolled a 4
bad
this time. So I did not sneak effectively.
So you move through the trees, okay? And
it's gonna go so badly.
You can see that there's stone up ahead of you, like a barrier. There's a gap in the stoneworks that's almost like a door. And outside of it, there are two figures. And one of them looks like a Tolden female with a straw hat wielding a pole axe. And the other one is a large Tiktani that looks like a huge green ant holding twin scimitars. And you step on something and they hear you and they look. Now, let's say you are 50 feet from everybody else.
Okay.
They're 25 feet from you.
Okay.
Fly.
We need battle order. So battle order for your group.
20.
And they are only two people. Theirs is... So they got a... They got 22. They go first. So the female with the pole axe moves up.
I just want to say, I don't want to die like this.
And attacks Vaughn.
Upset.
Misses. The next one moves up to try to attack Vaughn. Hits.
Ooh.
Does 9 damage.
Boosh.
Ouch. I scream out. Excuse me, gentlemen. This is going about the same it did the first time I met you.
They're a bunch of kids throwing dirt clods.
I'm going to move 25 feet in the direction of Vaughn Van de Ven. So, Vaughn.
Okay.
Take the shot.
17.
Hits.
Okay.
Hits both of them.
It's 8 damage.
So you get healed for 8, and they take 8 each?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to advance up as close as I can get. After that experience of stealing that homie's life, I have awakened my decay abilities. Shadow of Death over in the direction of those dudes.
Oh, shit.
Burst 2 of a range 10. Any creature that begins their turn within that zone takes double my composure. Will be a total of 2.
So I'm going to move northeast and get in line with Kelton Nesbitt to get a clear shot at the Tectani with the 2 scimitars.
Okay.
Burning Lance. Any adjacent enemy takes damage equal to my composure, which is 2. Natural 20.
Whoop. Oh, shit. Crit. Okay.
So that's 14 damage.
To the Tectani.
Tectani and 2 to the Tolden.
Okay. Tolden's doing good. The Tectani, you see, is barely holding it together. And it's starting to, like... shiver in the disguise. It's like there are parts of it that should be like an arm and it's splitting in the middle a little bit.
Burning Ray again.
Okay.
Hit both of them?
Yeah, it'll hit both of them.
Okay. 15.
15 hits.
Yeah. And that's 9 damage each.
Okay.
Ooh.
The Tiktani disguise evaporates and it stretches out into
also
being his full octopodal self.
Ew.
Okay.
You're ugly.
And they are blocking the entrance, so you can't really see past them yet, because it's kind of a narrow entrance, the gap.
Guilt. I didn't know you had a sister. That is your sister.
How many fucking arms do I have? Look at me.
Yeah, that's your sister, though.
This fucking guy.
Honestly, I can see the resemblance.
Fire lizard got you.
So, by the way, you haven't really had a lot of time to deal with this, but now Nesbitt has used magic twice. You guys have never seen him do that before.
And his mother died.
Plus one momentum.
God damn it.
Oh. It's been a rough day for all.
Got it.
All right, the Tolden female takes a swing with her poleaxe at Vaughn and hits with a natty 19 plus whatever. Doesn't matter.
No.
Does 4 damage.
God damn it.
I'm going to use my move to get up next to Vaughn into the face of the former Tritani. Warning strike now.
Those guys took damage when they acted.
How much damage did she take? 2 damage.
13. Does that hit?
13 does not hit.
Oh, okay.
It's Tiktani's turn.
2 damage.
Takes 2 damage at the start of his turn.
Damn it, I was hoping that was... It's dead
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I was really hoping. Holds up a couple tentacles in a way. Seems like is frantic, but did not expect... Clearly knows they're outclassed. And in a panic, does a slam attack against Kelton. Rolls a natty 20. Does 9 damage to Kelton. No, I'm sorry. 12 damage to Kelton.
24 damage to Kelton.
Million.
80 damage.
Kelton is dead.
Finally. I will kill that fucking pig one day.
I'm going to run up into the fray near both of the opponents and Vaughn, plunging strike on the former Tiktani. And a crit.
All right.
So, crit. Yeah.
Natty 1, folks.
I just full sprint, dive into him, dagger to the hilt in a gap between carapace plates, and...
He doesn't even have any.
Oh, yeah, no, I forgot. You're not...
Wait, you know that none of it's real armor in the first place.
Yeah. No, that's stick right into that guy. So, 18 total.
All right, 18 damage. Dies.
Teleport 2 spaces away.
Holy shit. Nesbitt's whipping out a whole new toolbox. Now there's a Tolden lady in a straw hat. I need Vaughn. Give me an acting check. I need a knowledge check. So use your intellect plus your acting.
24?
With a 24 of your acting check, you recognize that the Tolden in the Straw Hat is probably a character from one of your favorite operas about a lady who falls in love with a forest spirit who calls to her from the mountains.
Okay. What am I walking into? Just a random bunch of octopi, like... Fucking dressing up?
Yeah,
dressing
kinda.
Up as things so far, that you yeah. like.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. Like, really? Oh,
yeah. You're in the middle of combat,
wait.
Concerned?
Aster's been gone for I don't know how long, and now you're concerned?
Oh, 15 Aster wasn't
seconds.
Really much.
still, that's a big, that's too long. That's too long.
No, it's like, it's just weird. Where are these octopus got going on? They're like, but isn't yeah. my neighbor, is my neighbor Shoshu?
No.
Oh, then what is it?
It's not a real reference. I but made
other,
it up.
Okay, well, like, that's upsetting because she put some stuff into the other one, so I thought it was, like, a whole thing.
No, it's not a whole thing. I mean, it's a whole thing, but a different whole thing. Here's another reference. You know that the octopus that was portraying Tiktani was about some opera about what some people call a sky opera, about a person who went to a planet in the sky and became friends with a alien bug named Mars Marcus.
I'm going to continue to wheel around north to get a clear shot. And then I'm going to use Burning Lance again. Because, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Okay.
17 plus 7.
24 hits.
11.
11 damage. Ooh. Ouch. All right, Vaughn.
Okay. I'm just going to use Burning Ray again.
Okay.
On to,
so you don't care him. About the reference or anything like that.
Fuck.
I'm just saying.
Like, no, I don't. I don't care about the reference.
Okay.
Yeah, I should. No, so, I'm not going to. So.
Burning Ray?
It's on my style. Yes. Natty 2. Yeah. Which, yeah.
It's a miss.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's Tolden female's turn. Yeah. She takes 2 damage at the start of her turn and completely changes into an octopus and looks panicking again. Jumps into
a mech.
It jumps into a mech, smashes you all. You all die. Jumps between the gap in the entrance between the walls, the stone walls, and runs into there. And you see that once she passes through there, it is a large amphitheater that has been uncovered. All the seat rows are stone, and you can tell that there are people in some of the seats, and on stage there's somebody flailing around.
Is it an octopus?
No. You are still outside the theater, so you just watched her run in there.
Yes.
Let's enter the theater.
Okay,
so as you enter the amphitheater, you see that there are a bunch of people in the seats, probably like a couple hundred people total. And most of them are octopus people who are changing between forms as they sit, just like trying to emulate what they're seeing. And on stage is a very stressed out Eshwin reading from a script he's holding in his hands, trying to mimic what it's saying. And he's just not any good at it. And he's very loud. He's been beaten, and he's just trying to please everybody. And across from him is a Tiktani who has a very flat affect and is trying to emphasize the other part of what he's saying by making big gestures and that kind of thing. And they look like they're terrified as this is happening.
Both of them, the Eshwin and
yeah, the... both of them look okay. Terrified, and they're both trying to say lines from a script, and they're just terrible at it and scared.
I roll to see if I recognize what they're saying.
Okay.
It's 23.
23, you definitely recognize what they're trying to read. It is Gomeo and Juliet and...
Chaos Point?
Chaos Point.
All right, Chaos Point. So Gomeo and Juliet, they're trying it. They don't understand it. They're not even that good at reading it. And they're trying as hard as they can. And you can now tell that they're kind of in some costumes that they've made from other people's clothes.
Okay.
As you enter, and you're kind of stunned by this spectacle, everybody turns and looks at you, including the people who are not the octopus people. You can tell their hands are bound behind their back, and they have gags tied over their mouth to keep them from speaking up during this performance.
Tough room. All right.
Plus one momentum.
Yeah.
Do we see any children?
You see a couple children. Like 3 or 4.
Are they guff children?
One is.
I have a feeling these are not the guff we're looking for.
So as an actor, I'm called to the stage. Always.
Okay.
And so I I run past everyone and I go down there to help them out to perform.
What light from yonder window breaks?
Tis the east?
So you can tell that they're getting to the point in the play where Gomeo is trying to dissuade his best friend, Blurbludio.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like this play was written for octopus people. That sounds like an octopus name, like Blurbludio.
Getting a pet octopus, name it Blurbludio.
and he's trying to dissuade the Tiktani from killing Juliet's cousin, Skibbled.
Is it Tybalt? I thought it was Horatio. I'm mixing plays. I'm so sorry.
Tybalt.
Horatio's in Hamlet.
Yes. Tybalt is the Prince of Cats. He's my favorite.
So I'm stepping in for the other Eshwin, who I'm assuming genders here, but he's male. I'm assuming like he's...
Well, if this is a classic Squilgium cake shear play, then they're all male.
You have to write all this down.
No.
I need this.
I will not undignify the bard.
This is now canon in the universe. There is Squilliam Cakeshear.
Cakeshear? Squilliam Cakeshear.
That's a thing that's now in every campaign, no matter what.
Yes.
Okay, so I ramp on stage and I knock
And you see everybody getting up out of their seats like, what's going on? Do we stop this?
And
like,
I knock the Eshwin. And so I knock the other Eshwin out because obviously I'm an Eshwin myself. Why would I be on the stage? Like, no, there's only one Von Vandeven. Like, I don't want people to get confused.
Okay.
So
okay.
You want to be knock that guy out.
I don't even know what is in this
role
scene. Like, what
I have no idea.
You make it up.
Like,
my dear Barbuccio, study your hair.
Who dies in this scene? I'm really forgetting this.
This is just him talk. I have no idea.
No, I know, but I need, then I could finish the scene by like someone dies and I can't. Is it Tybalt who dies?
No, they don't die. This is
someone dies in the scene. That's the whole point of it.
I don't know.
I don't think
Yeah, Mercutio.
When Tybalt and Mercutio fight, they die. But no, Mercutio,
one of them dies.
This is Bomeo and Berblutio.
Yeah,
Gomeo and Berblutio.
Mercutio and Tybalt never fight.
The scene I'm in,
Tybalt is not in the scene.
Yeah.
Skibbolt.
Right.
Skibbolt. Sorry.
Wait. Stop confusing people.
No, I think we're totally confused. Like,
yeah. This is just Gomeo pleading with Berblutio.
But you said it was the scene of Mercutio and...
No.
Yes, you did.
No.
I saw Skibbolt in
it. Because he's telling him not to kill him.
He's saying, don't go to try to kill Skibbolt.
Because he loves Skibbolt now. Okay. And then Gomeo...
Because Skibbolt is now his family because he is betrothed to Juliet?
Juliet.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Juliet.
Okay.
How could you forget the name of the title character? This is a fucking classic.
I knock down the Eshwin and I say, don't you dare kill Juliet. Or,
Skibbolt.
God damn it. There's a lot of words.
I'm beginning to think you're not an actor.
Jeez, just.
You're not a ranger. You're not an actor. What are you?
I've kept you all alive in some form of fashion. That's what I've done.
You've secretly been an archaeologist this whole time.
You're just like, I worked at a community theater for a summer 10 years ago.
Like, let's not, like, that's too true to my life. Like, let's be honest. Except for the actor prep, nonetheless. So anyway, I knocked the Eshwin out.
We got a new Gomeo.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I knocked the Eshwin out and I say, don't you dare hurt Skibbolt. And I finish out the scene.
All right, give me an acting check. I would say this is composure.
It took a while to get that line.
This is composure and perform. And perform is your talent?
Oh, God. Yes. Yes, it is. It is my talent. And then 19.
19?
Yeah.
Everything is quiet. Everybody is like stunned by this sudden intruder who clearly is way better than anybody on stage. And the Sictani is looking at you. And kind of whispers, goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Could you do my lines too?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay. And he like throws you his hat that he's wearing, like the silly little stupid Robin Hood style hat, throws it to you, and then like scuttles off the stage.
I put the hat on, although I do the rest of the scene, switching hats to make sure I'm the right character, and I perform.
Okay, if you're going to perform as both characters.
I need another role.
Give me another perform roll.
I'm going to use two moments. Right, you made me nervous with the question.
All right. You're performing as two characters, and you're trying to be convincing. This is tougher than playing one character.
Yeah. So I have 18 plus my perform, which is 21, plus 5 because I'm an actor, which is 26, then 30, 32.
You... kill it.
Yeah, I do.
And to the point where all of the octopus people, like two limbs are on the seat and all six other limbs rise up and they start flashing white and black. You can tell as a form of praise, waving side to side in celebration. And then the sound of clapping that sounds four times louder than as many people as it should be. Like, just applause, just nonstop applause. And even the people who are tied up and gagged are just tears in their eyes.
I start beautiful? To tear up myself. I'm just like, oh, I've missed the stage.
It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful.
A Mighty Ducks clap, though, so it's like...
quack, 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 quack.
You see one octopus who looks a little bit older than the others stand up and hold four of his limbs up in the air to quiet everybody down. And when they quiet down, he makes a motion to somebody nearby, and they bring by a large bowl, and he retrieves from it a fish with glasses on. And
like the fish has glasses on it?
Yes.
Okay.
And he starts shocking the fish
with
his shocking ability in such a way that it starts speaking.
So I love this so much.
Okay.
He says,
this is so he the made a babble thing. Fish?
You've don't ever worry, had be happy. Is that what he says to me?
says, so long, we've waited for somebody to properly represent all this material we found. I think finally we've had it. We don't need anybody else. Let's have another round of applause for the mysterious stranger. Please, stranger, will you stay with us? We discovered these documents and have been enthralled by the characters represented within them and had no means by which to express them ourselves. Would you please show us the greatness contained within these pages for those of us without a voice, or at least... And he squeezes the fish a certain way. Says, voice that's not so embarrassing. and you see that the other octopodes start untying the prisoners and just like letting them go. And
so
just like get out of here.
They solely had prisoners just perform things for them?
Yeah, because they can't speak.
Yet you ran on stage.
Yeah, I know. I'm a ham. I can't help it.
Well, technically, Kelton's the ham.
What about the children?
They let them all go.
Everyone's gone.
Yeah, and like shoo them out. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, we found what we're looking
you're,
for.
Like, you're
we
garbage.
Don't even need this.
You rolled a 32.
Okay, so...
Kelton is standing in the back, just tears streaming down his face, just...
Okay, so you guys are... You're not near me. You haven't...
We're
you
off
haven't,
the side of the stage, yeah. Right?
But you're near...
Oh, no, I would say we haven't even left the doorway. Like, she bolted.
I went down there.
Pushed people out of the way, knocked over the actor.
Like, okay.
Also, you see that Aster is left in the corner, and the person who kidnapped him, the octopus turned into a Tolden female, has, like, abandoned him, and you could tell that he's, like, injured, but... has his mouth shut by this wackiness that's happening in front of him.
All right, I'm going to go mosey over Aster and just pick him up and start making for the exit.
Yeah.
You're just leaving okay. me?
You're going to go...
You're leaving without even saying goodbye?
You can say goodbye to us.
You're leaving.
There's a lot of these things in here, man.
Well, they're happy with me, so like let's
they're
all...
not happy with me.
How do they know that? They're not going to hurt you, like... All right, so yeah, I call out Nesbitt, Esmond, and Kelton to come down on stage with me.
Kelton's going on that stage.
Right, I'm gonna pick a healthy looking prisoner who's leaving and like just kind of give Aster him from like just get him out of here. All right, cool.
You can tell that his leg is broken, so you hand him off to a random person who we'll say is like a Krex seagull, like one of those longshoremen we talked about, like the Eloak. And is like, okay. And everybody's getting up and kind of like walking backwards out of the arena.
Like not sure what's happening.
Yeah, not turning their back on anything.
Like, Kelton is totally going to be on that stage.
Esmond is on the stage and not enjoying any of it.
I stroll up. Hey, that was a very good performance. We're all real proud of you. Almost as good as your archaeology. It's beautiful.
I nudge Nesbitt and like, hey, seems like your family likes her better than you.
For fuck's sake.
So I grab hands with them and I start to bow, regardless of whether they're with me or not on the bow, but I put their hands up and then I bow.
Kelton bows.
They're still clapping. The applause is uproarious, but they don't have voices. They can't speak. So the one with the fish with the glasses.
Oh, I get it. That's why he's using a fish to talk to me. All right.
Now you get it. Oh, God.
Oh, what? I was just like.
What?
I was like, all right, this is weird, but who buys to die what they want to do with their lives?
So
I get it. Like, he's using his, like, a. Yeah, I get
the
it.
The one with the fish squeezes and shocks the fish some more.
No, and, no, that's his
right,
thing.
Why would I assume that an octopus can't talk to me? Like,
because he said they can't talk.
I didn't. But did you say it earlier? Okay. Well, yeah, and I don't remember that. Excuse me for living out a dream of mine.
This is your dream?
She's always wanted to perform Romeo and Juliet as a one-man show.
In front of just mouthless octopuses. This is where it's all been going
they
for
have
her.
Mouths, yeah. But they got beaks under all that stuff. So, grabs the fish and squeezes and shocks it and the glasses rattle around on its face, and it says...
The fish's face?
Can I ask, why does it have glasses?
It's just something for my sake.
It's nearsighted.
Okay, go ahead.
Plus one momentum. Okay. Squeezes the fish, and it speaks and says, please, we've discovered so many different plays. We've got hundreds of them. Would you please act as our shepherd to this new world of performative culture?
I kind of turn back to Kelton, Nesbitt, Esmond, and I say, I think this is where I'm supposed to be.
I mean, I agree with that, and that's terrifying.
You're probably right, Flappy Bat. This, you're gonna do a good job.
We're not staying.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the fuck out of here with a swiftness.
That's, Kelton's gonna pick Vaughn up in a bear hug and just kind of blow his nose on his shoulder.
I'm gonna miss you, Bat.
Aww. I go over to Nesbitt in particular, and I take his hands in my hands, and I say, will you take care of Forsha? I don't know what I'm saying.
No, just be like, I know you boned down with Forsha. Take care of her.
I'm a gentleman. I couldn't say as such.
She's not a harlot. Respect her. Yes. I know you... Night waltzed.
I say, I know you night waltzed with Forsha. I just want you to take care of her.
Flappy Rat, mind your fucking business.
Okay.
So you don't get the feeling that the octopuses are going to intervene. They are still amazed and stunned, as all of you should have been by that 32 of a perform check.
Tears still streaming down my face. I just can't.
Never, you didn't know Vaughn had it in him.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I'd give it 11 out of 10 at the Zagat Guide, yeah.
Thought he was just a ranger.
We have to go.
Weird squishy fucker with your weird squishy fish. Outside of these guys, you know anything about a bunch of fucking pig kids?
The guy with the fish?
Yeah.
No.
Esmond raises his hand.
Yes?
You wouldn't have to know about any two, like, bird dudes named Harold.
What are there?
Howard. Two bird dudes named Howard.
Well, we haven't run into them.
All right, yeah. No fucking reason to be here. Shall we, gents?
I'll miss you.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be with your group. I will truly miss you all.
All right, bye.
I wait. Okay. Again. Like,
All right, so we step through the door and then
move. Knife in the gut.
Well, that was the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. I've never heard of anything anywhere near as weird as this.
You leave the arena with Vaughn on stage. Everybody's still just clapping and clapping, and Vaughn is clearly drinking it in and blushing, but chin held high. Feels like he deserves it. It ultimately, Vaughn has come into his own. As you walk outside, people are milling around, and you get a moment to reflect on how fucking weird everything was.
I loved this. This is legitimately great.
And
chaos point for that send-off.
I agree, actually.
Yeah. Two chaos points?
Dude, that's...
Yeah, let's
This was...
Let's do it.
One, it was on point. It was on theme. It was weird, but fun.
If you had asked me what the campaign was going to be before, I never would have guessed anything of
this took a heavy left turn.
Yeah.
The escaping prisoners, let's say there's about 50, you get the sense that they're from all over Gravor, every manner of person among them, and they're all as weirded out as you are about the whole thing, and that is where tonight's session ends. And I just want to hear it, everybody. We got to say goodbye to Katie and Vaughn Vandeven. Vaughn, who will now be living his best life as the actor he's always wanted to be, with nobody having a chance to upstage him as he performs one-man shows of every play he's ever loved. And to Katie, living her best life up at a new job in a new home in a new city. So, everybody.
Bye, Katie. Bye, Katie.
Congrats, Katie.
Katie.
Katie, we love you. And in regards to the campaign, we'll see you next time. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been an amazing journey so far, and it is with a heavy heart we say farewell to our good friend Katie and Von Vandeven, and we want to thank you guys for your support and for listening in and sharing in the fun that we've had along the way. Coming up, we're going to have some new players join the campaign as well, and really look forward to you guys being able to hear who they are and what they're bringing to the table. Until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.